The verses before us in Hebrews chapter 4, I do believe, teach us what it is to pray in Jesus' name. Now, we use this expression many times in a prayer meeting like this. It's the way we usually close our prayers. We ask these things in Jesus' name. But do we really know what that means? Well, for a little time this evening, I want to try, and I emphasize that, I want to try to explain from this portion before us what it means. Now, the central truth or the theme of the book of Hebrews is the high priestly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure that most of you are aware that Aaron was the first high priest. But Jesus Christ is exclusively the great high priest. There were many high priests in Israel, but there's only one high priest, and that one high priest is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And his ministry is so vitally connected to his intercession for us and our privilege to pray to God the Father in Jesus' name. Now, I am thinking especially now of the connection this has to do with the Old Testament teaching concerning the high priest in Israel. And I am especially thinking about the garments that the high priest wore. The garments that the high priest wore were designated and described by God and provided by God for the use of the high priest. And they are described in Exodus chapter 28. But in particular, there are three pieces of the garments that have an interesting term expressed with them. And I want to itemize these things or highlight these things and emphasize this particular word, bear, in each of these verses. First of all, if you find chapter 28 and verse 12, this is what we read there. And thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of memorial unto the children of Israel. Listen to it now. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial. And then if you go down to verse 30. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord. Listen again. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. And then finally in verse 38, and that shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear, there's the word again, the iniquity of the holy things. So that Aaron, in wearing these garments, would bear something before the Lord. And I want to highlight three simple things, hopefully to encourage us as we pray publicly or as we pray privately, what it is to pray in Jesus' name. First of all, we think about the ephod, and it is described for us in verses 6 through 14. And the ephod speaks to us of the might of the high priest. It speaks of his strength. It speaks of his authority. Now, the ephod was a lovely two-piece sleeveless apron, or waistcoat if you like, and it was held to the body by an ornamental belt and joined at the shoulders by two straps on which were attached two onyx stones. And on these two onyx stones were the names of the 12 tribes of Israel, six names on each of these stones. And according to verse 12, they were stones of memorial for the children of Israel. Now, this is very suggestive, because the Israelites were in the thoughts of the high priest when he went in to appear before God, thus identifying himself with God's people. And that means a lot to every child of God gathered here in the house of God. Because here we have a pointer to Christ, our great high priest, who perpetually remembers his people in heaven. Now, in the Word of God, we have many illustrations and many verses that teach us that God remembers his people. I think, for example, of Genesis chapter 8, verse 1, and God, or the Lord, remembered Noah. I think also of Genesis chapter 21, verse 1, the Lord remembered Sarah. Genesis chapter 30, we're also told there in verse 22 that the Lord remembered Rachel. And then in 1 Samuel 1, verse 19, how the Lord remembered Hannah. And it's good to know that as we gather here tonight in the house of God, that we are being remembered in heaven by our great high priest. He knows what kind of day you've had. He knows the weaknesses of the flesh. He knows the problems that you have been enduring in recent times. He remembers his people. He'll never forget you or what you as a child of God are, what you as a child of God is facing right now at this point. And then we're told here about the shoulders. These stones were placed upon the shoulders. And the shoulder in the Bible is a place of strength. How do I make that out? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. The government shall be upon his shoulders. What a weight placed on the shoulders of Christ. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Remember the sheep that was lost in Luke chapter 15. And the good shepherd went out in pursuit of that lost sheep. And you can see the shepherd retrieving that lost sheep, lifting it out of where it was. Where did the shepherd place the sheep? Place the sheep on the shoulder, the place of strength. So that lost sheep that had been found was undergirded by the strength of Christ, upheld by him in that place of strength. And that's the way it is, child of God. We're just like that lost sheep. We've been found, we've been retrieved, we've been lifted up, and we've been placed in that place of strength. Underneath are the everlasting arms. He undergirds us. He holds us up. He'll never let us fall. We can never fall through his fingers. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. He remembers his people. He prays for us when we are tempted. Remember Simon Peter. Well, Peter, and then Jesus reverted to the old name, Simon, Simon. Satan had desired to have thee, but I prayed for thee. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So the Lord was telling Peter beforehand, you're going to be tested like you've never been tested before. You're going to have a fall. You're going to falter. But you will be converted because I have prayed for you. Even before the incident occurred, Christ had prayed for him for his recovery. And that's the way it is with us. Because many a time we do go astray, many times we do fail and falter. And that's not pleasant. Sure it's not. It's not nice to lose out with God and to be plunged into a place of misery and despair. And that aching heart, that troubled mind, and we hardly know what way to turn. But remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ has prayed for you and he's praying for you now. He's undergirding you in the place of prayer and he sympathizes with us when we suffer. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Now, unlike the Jewish priest, our priest, the Lord Jesus does not sleep. In the days of his flesh he did, but all those limitations are gone now. He never sleeps, and he never will die. He died once, once for all, forever. He lives forever, the power of an endless life, so he never sleeps. He never dies, nor does he suffer from failing memory. As time passes by, we have these moments when we forget certain things. We need to be reminded by other people, but the Lord never forgets anything. He never forgets his people, nor does he finish a shift and hand it over his duties to another priest. No, It's an unending priesthood. He personally and constantly remembers every elect soul one by one, name by name, in the Father's presence. He has the right to do that. He has the authority to do this. He has the strength to do this because of who he is and what he accomplished through his death on Calvary's cross. He has opened up a way for us into the presence of God. And that's why tonight we can come to pray to the Father in his name, in Jesus' name. Because when we pray in the authority, in the name, by virtue of the name of Jesus, by virtue of his authority and strength and his divine power. He brings us into God's presence. Aaron bore the names of the 12 tribes on his shoulders. This indicates, of course, that the high priest is the helper of God's people. Hallelujah. He's the helper of God's people. You think of Genesis chapter 28, Jacob at Bethel, and he sees the angels ascending and descending. And Jesus identifies himself as that ladder. He's the way to God, and our prayers go up to God through Christ, and answers descend or come down from heaven through Christ. That's the truth. That's it. That's the secret. By virtue of Christ. And that ladder goes all the way up to heaven, into the presence of the Father. And it's the Son who brings God's people into the presence of the Father by his authority, by his might, by his power, by virtue of who he is, the one at God's right hand. Blessed, blessed Jesus. He is our helper. He is the mighty God. And that's the rendering of the word El Shaddai. God, all-powerful one. Think about the force. Think about the strength, the ability to do this. So when we pray in Jesus' name, we're praying in the authority of that name, in the strength of that name, by virtue of that name. So keep that in mind. There's the ephod. That's the might of the high priest. And then we want to think about the breastplate. That's the second reference in verses 15 through 30. So what does the breastplate of the high priest speak to us about? Well, the ephod spoke about his might, and the breastplate speaks of his mercy, his compassion, if you like, his care. Now, the breastplate was a piece of embroidered fabric placed over the front of the ephod and adorned with 12 precious stones set in gold. There's something very valuable here, something very precious. Think about gold. Then you think about these precious stones set in the gold. It hung on the high priest's chest. It was supported by a golden chain attached to the shoulder clasps and arranged in four rows with three in each row. And each stone had the name of a tribe, of one of the tribes of Israel, engraved on it. So when the high priest went into the presence of God, he carried with him the names of the Israelites in two places. His shoulders, the place of strength. This indicated the responsibilities of the high priest to care for them. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. He cares for us. He's merciful to us. He's compassionate upon us. Shows mercy to us. And he carried them on the heart. This was to show his love as the high priest for God's people. Now, what is the difference between the stones in the ephod and those on the breastplate? The ephod, as I've mentioned, had two stones for all the 12 tribes, six in each one. On the breastplate, each tribe had its own stone. Do you see that? So the Lord prays for his church, but then the truth is this, he prays for us individually. The priest represented each tribe individually when he entered into the presence of God. He took each tribe by name into God's presence. And right now, as we gather here for prayer on earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, in compassion and care for our souls, is now representing his people individually and personally. Your personal needs, your personal crises in life, he is praying now on your behalf Is that not enough to cause it to shout hallelujah and to give God the glory and the praise? I think it is. What a wonderful Savior we have. And Christ prays for each one of his people, for the weakest, for the newest convert, for the oldest believer who may not be able to attend the house of God. Oh, there was a time they loved to be in the house of God. They never missed. We miss their voices in the place of prayer. We miss their contribution. You may be listening on, some of you tonight. We love you in Christ. We miss you. We trust that God will bless you now in your own home. Many of God's people can't be here tonight. You once were here. May God bless you. And I want to remind you now that your name has been mentioned by your great high priest in glory at this point of time. Never feel alone. Never feel downcast. The Lord will never disappoint. He will be with you. And he will bless you and do you good in the days to come. And so he brings these personal needs. We are always upon his heart. And we are always up in his thoughts of our great high priest. And we are precious jewels. Just like these different stones were precious. They were very valuable. So we are valuable to him. And Malachi chapter 3:17 describes the people of God as precious jewels. Did you ever think about that? That you're a precious jewel in the sight of Christ. He loved you so much that he came from heaven. And he offered his life a ransom for sin on the cross. To put away your sin. To bring you nigh to God. To redeem you. That you might be able to sit in a prayer meeting like this tonight and seek his face. And give him thanks for who he is and what he's done for your soul. Have you thanked him today? Aaron acted specifically as high priest for Israel. But the church is now the chosen generation. The royal priesthood. The holy nation. The peculiar people. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 tells us that. And Christ is the great high priest of his church. And that church, his church, has been purchased by the blood that he shed on Calvary's cross. Now, there's a great variety of stones, 12 different stones. And does this not suggest the variety of people in the church and in the world today? I think it does. And no two stones were alike. There's not two people in this church exactly alike. We're all different. Thank God for it. It would be an awful place if everybody was like me. But then, on the other hand, it would be an awful place if everybody was like you too. We're all different, you see. But we're all precious. That's the point. Each tribe had its own distinction and its own personality and its own place in the work of God. But they were all precious to God. And that's a truth that ought to thrill us too. Every child of God is precious to Christ. On the eve of his death, listen to what Jesus prayed. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. They belong to God, and God gave them to Christ in the eternal covenant. And Christ came to earth and lived for them. At the appointed time, he died for them, and he was raised for them, and he ascended to glory for them, and he's living for us now, and he's interceding for us. Hallelujah! Where the plan began, so it culminates with Christ risen as our great high priest to glory. Now the breastplate had two special stones known as the Urim and the Thummim. And they were the means of making decisions for the Israelites. Hence the description, the breastplate of judgment, or the breastplate for making decisions. You'll find that other places. Now the exact nature of the Urim and Thummim is unknown to us today. But one commentator said one stone appears to have symbolized curses and the other perfections. Now, no one today knows how they were used to discover the will of God. That's a mystery to us. But I think maybe Proverbs 16 and verse 33 may give us a clue. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Or, it's every decision is from the Lord. And the stone showed that God gave to the priest the authority to ask him for direction on behalf of the nation. Maybe one of the stones was black and the other stone may have been white. And the stones were drawn would determine the will of God. Urim and Thummim means lights and perfections. And the truth is, we have a more reliable guide for us in this life, in this dark world, the inerrant, infallible scriptures of truth, written by holy men of God who were moved along by the Spirit and spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. We echo the words of the psalmist, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Psalm 119:105, tremendous verse from God's word. The great high priest guides us by his word. So when we come to pray in Jesus' name, we draw nigh to God through one who has authority to bring us into the presence of God, one who cares for us, one who sympathizes with us. And then finally, we come to the turban. And it's dealt with in verses 38, a number of verses there, 36, 38, and so on. And what does this speak to us of? Well, first thing spoke of his might, breastplate spoke of his mercy, and now the turban speaks of his merit. Because in this verse 38, "And this shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things." Now, the high priest wore this turban with a gold plate, bearing the words, "Holiness unto the Lord," verse 36. The whole purpose of the Levitical system was to make men and women holy and pleasing to God. Today, the main emphasis in some meetings that are held is on having a good time. We don't come to church to have a good time. I know we can be blessed through the preaching of the word, but we don't come to church to have a good time. We come to church to glorify God and to worship him in spirit and in truth. So the emphasis in some places today is upon having a good time, not to glorify God. And the music may be entertaining, but it's not always edifying. The preaching is usually shallow and not spiritual. It's all about making people happy, not holy. But the purpose of God, even in the Old Testament, and even the dress of the high priest, was to make men holy. The purpose of the gospel is to make men holy. We'll never achieve that in this life, but we are to aspire for holiness unto the Lord. And let me say, the first step to happiness is holiness. And the high priest alone, he wore this turban, and the other priests, they wore linen bonnets. God commanded Moses to consecrate Aaron and his sons that he may minister unto me or serve me. Now, why was Aaron set apart? To bear the iniquity of holy things, so that they be accepted before the Lord. The high priest, as the representative of all Israel, will incur responsibility for the sins of Israel and then make sacrificial atonement for them. That's the merit of Christ. And wearing this holy turban and its gold crown, the high priest identify with the sins of the people as they brought their offerings to God. And Christ took responsibility for your sins and for my sins. And he was treated by God as a sinner to give us acceptance with God. And so we're thinking tonight about that blood sacrifice, that atoning sacrifice that he offered. He offered himself. He identified with people when he came and was baptized of John in Jordan to identify with sinful men that he came to save. And he went to the cross as a man, the God-man. And he made peace by the blood of his cross. It's sin that keeps us away from fellowship with God. It's sin that keeps men out of heaven. But he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. What a tremendous verse. And Jesus, as our high priest, the mediator whose holiness shines forth. And in Christ we're holy. In Christ we are accepted. In Christ we are righteous. And in Christ alone. So when we're praying tonight or at any other time, when we're praying in Jesus' name, we draw nigh to God because of the merits of Christ. It's the merits of Christ that entitles us to come. This is the way we come to God, pleading all his virtue, all of his power, all of his holiness, all of his compassion, all of his atoning sacrifice on the cross. That guarantees us having a hearing with God and finding acceptance with God. So when we pray in Jesus' name, then we can expect our prayers to be answered. We can therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and, listen to it, find help in time of need. I'm finished. I was reading this morning in 2 Chronicles 26. I read there about Uzziah. His name means "my strength is in Jehovah." He began well, but he ended up a leper. But he has another name, and the name that is maybe used more often is Azariah, and that means Jehovah has helped. There's not a thing that we can do without his help. And even when we come to pray, we can't pray without his help. And that's why when we come to appear in the presence of God, when we draw nigh, pleading the virtue of Christ, God will help us in answer to prayer. And this land needs help, and we need help. We need God to come. If God doesn't come, we're beat. We're defeated. There's no future. But there still is a God in heaven who still hears and answers prayer. So when you pray next time, and you come to the end of your prayer, and you say, "We ask these things in Jesus' name." If you ask through the virtue and merit and work and mercy of Jesus Christ, you can expect an answer. Because heaven opens when we draw near in Jesus' name. Let's bow for prayer.